Now, we could spend probably an entire weekend just studying the gospel from today and what it means for us. But recently, as I prepared to preach this weekend, I just took an initial look at the readings, and I was actually really taken by the line from our first reading from Leviticus, where God instructs the people to be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And it got me thinking a lot about holiness. What is holy? And so I decided to consult some great experts. I posted on Facebook, what is holiness and what does it mean to be holy? And I was really overwhelmed. Like, more than 30 people posted some incredibly thoughtful responses and reflections. Now, before I tell you what they said, I would ask you the same thing. What does it mean to live a holy life? Now, indulge me for a minute, if you will. If you had to put your body into a holy posture or position, what would it look like? So when I count to three, please show me what holy looks like. One, two, three. All right, I appreciate the seven of you who participated. That's it's really encouraging. Now, I know for me it might look something like this, but why not this? I mean, really. And what this tells me is that I have certain ideas inside of me about what holiness is. And these ideas have shaped who I think is holy, what I think is holy, and where I think is holy. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up Catholic. And I can assure you that for the most part, this from here up was holy. And as you went down, it got unholier real fast. Some of you can probably relate. But I also know that who got to stand behind the altar and who didn't get to stand behind the altar taught me about what was holy and who was holy. And in church, I'm not sure I recall anyone telling me that my home was holy, my relationships were holy, that the earth was holy, or that love was holy. Now, in Jesus' time and now, there were these dominant standards of who the holy people were, what they did, and where they went. In general, everyday, ordinary people never measured up to those standards. Most people ended up feeling badly about themselves because of it. And I remember a few years back, I was doing a Bible study here at church. I think it was during Advent, and I was in a small faith-sharing group during the Bible study. And one of the group members is a woman in our community, and she started to speak about how she didn't know as much about the Bible as I did. And she wished that she were smarter about the scriptures. And she said with some self-deprecation that she could never do Bible studies like these. And I think, like many people, she had gotten the idea that people who could lead a Bible study were maybe a little holier or a little closer to God. So I asked her, well, how do you live out your faith life? And she said, oh, one of the things I love to do is to bring communion to people every Sunday after church. She says, we talk for a little while, then we hold each other's hands, and I don't know any Bible verses by heart, so we just say the Our Father and then cry a little bit. And she said, but I know that's not real Bible study. And that's when I started to cry, because this woman was doing more Bible study than I ever could without ever memorizing a passage from Scripture. And she felt badly because she didn't know what I knew about the Bible. Now, in the gospel today, we hear Jesus continue his famous phrases, you have heard it said, but I say to you. And as Father Jim mentioned last week, Jesus was giving this installation update to our faith. Jesus was known for turning popular religious ideas on their heads and offering a very different way to view the world. And he did the same with holiness. Time and time again, in the scriptures and in his interactions, Jesus was saying in so many different ways that not everything we have been taught is, in fact, what needs to be done. And furthermore, the people we think are doing it right may not always be the best models. The great spiritual writer Anne Lamott says that everyone is screwed up, broken, clingy, and scared, even the people who seem to have it more or less together. They are much more like you than you would believe. So don't try to compare your insides to their outsides. So I just came by today to remind us that holiness is not about how things look on the outside. Holiness is not about being in a certain place or thinking certain thoughts or saying the right words. That's called purity. Purity is concerned with if you got it right. Did you say it the right way, or did you make any mistakes? And sadly, there is plenty of that going on in the world today. But holiness is about our hearts. It's about being in right relationship. It's about living wholehearted lives and living life on life's terms. So let me go back and tell you what some of the experts said about holiness. And this is just a sampling. Michelle said, to be holy is to live and act in the world as an expression of alignment with our heart. Melanie said it's to exemplify love, compassion, and service in life. Alan said it's love in action. Chris said that it's to know God's grace covers you every day, and you try to live that way. Annie said to let yourself be humbled. Virginia said it's to act for justice no matter the cost. And Maureen said it's to be connected to love. My work colleague, Joel, who's Jewish, responded to my Facebook post with a response from his own tradition, which I really appreciated. And he explained that similar to Christians, Jews read each week from a portion of the Torah called the Kedoshim, which means holiness. And they read from Leviticus chapter 19, which we read from today. And Leviticus is the core of their tradition on what it means to be holy. And here are some highlights of what Leviticus says. When you harvest your land, leave some for the poor and the stranger so that they have something to eat. Don't take things that don't belong to you, and don't lie. Don't oppress people or humiliate them or exploit them. Pay people fair wages and pay them on time. Don't put other people down or make their lives hard, especially people who already have it hard. That's what God says about a holy life. It's not very flashy, and it's available to everyone. But definitely, as they say, some assembly required. Now you see, holiness is not in our heads, and it's not some measuring stick. It's how we treat ourselves, how we treat each other, and how we treat the world. And holiness is also about recovering a sense of mystery, awe, and wonder. This past week, my wife Lynn and I watched the movie A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. I don't know, some of you may have seen it, but I would highly recommend it. It's a movie based on the profound interactions that this writer named Tom Junod has with Fred Rogers. And he wrote an article about it in Esquire magazine in 1998. And it's a really moving story of how Mr. Rogers profoundly touched people's lives because he simply believed that appreciating people for who they are and looking for what's good in a person was a form of holy living. And he practiced it every day with the people that he met in his neighborhood, in his neighborhood, in his neighborhood. And I've also loved the work of the popular author and speaker Brené Brown, who did some pretty extensive studies on what she would call wholehearted people, which I would call holy people. And she found that they actually have a lot of characteristics in common. Characteristics like they've let go of perfectionism and spend more time cultivating compassion for themselves and others. They've let go of a sense of scarcity and fear and actually focus more on joy and gratitude. They don't compare themselves to others as often and focus more on their own intuition and creativity. They don't need to be so certain about things and trust other people more. They've let go of exhaustion and productivity as a way of life and focus more on stillness and finding worth elsewhere. And they're actually less worried about what people think and find themselves singing and dancing and playing more often. That's wholehearted living. That's holy living. And it doesn't just happen in a certain place or when you say certain words or do certain things. It can happen just about anywhere with just about anyone. Bill Tiberio, who plays in our gospel choir, responded to my post by telling a short but very profound story. He said, years ago, I was playing at a restaurant with my band, And it was a pretty intimate setting with listeners of all ages. He says, we performed a slow, blues-drenched instrumental piece that probably went something like... So Bill says, I recall how attentive the people in the room had become. After that song, I asked if anyone in the audience had a comment or question they wanted to share. And a little girl, probably 10 years old, asked if the piece we had just played was a holy song. She said it sounded like a prayer. Many people in the room laughed a little at her comment. Bill said, I said it was indeed a holy song that came from our hearts, and it touched hers like a prayer. Now, I don't know about you, but that girl's world is the one I want to live in. And all of this talk of holiness got me thinking about popular expressions that we have used that I think have been trying to get us to change our ideas of holiness for some time. They point to the holiness all around us when we say things like, holy cow, holy mackerel, holy smokes, holy Toledo, holy Moses, holy guacamole, and yes, even holy crap. Because I think we have known for some time but had forgotten that holiness is everywhere, even in things we may not be able to recognize it in. And as my friend Nora said in response to my post, holiness is where you look for it. Now you may know that we start the season of Lent this week, and traditionally Lent has been a time of pulling back on some things so that something else may come forward. Whatever disciplines you choose this Lent, my hope is that they help you find the holiness inside of you. And I hope that you, like Mr. Rogers, find holiness all around you. Because not only is this the kind of world I think we want to live in, it's the world we already live in.